Doing. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. I have feelings about opinions, but I'll keep those to myself. Obviously, Coach had a lot of success, but everybody's entitled to an opinion. I guess everybody's entitled to a way to reach out and say it. I know he's had a couple of them as of here late that have been great.
Welcome back in the zone. That is Brett Bielema talking about Pat Dye's comments.
And it's called taking the high road.
Well, yeah, for once. I mean, what you know what I took from that is he didn't even find Pat Dye's comments worthy of talking about.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he'll go back at people on Twitter that go at him. So I find that amusing that he finds idiot Wisconsin fans worthy to poke back at, but Pat Dye is not even worthy of saying anything negative about. And in that environment, it's a little different. When you're in, you know, when you're on the Twitter machine and it's 10 o'clock at night and you're not in a great mood, you've had a long day, it's probably a little easier to get riled up and go after a guy when it's early in the morning and you're well-rested and you got a guy who's had some success as a head coach poking at you. It's probably a little different deal. So,
and you're on a you're on a conference call with media,
right,
instead of being on Twitter. I still think some coaches and athletes think that Twitter is you're just talking to somebody one on one. No, the whole world sees it.
Yeah,
but I still
exactly
think
right.
Sometimes when they trade these barbs and things, they forget that this is a very, very public forum, and whatever you say on there is going to be seen and recorded and talked about.
If you went in today, 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037, Justin Akre, Nate Olson of Sync Weekly here at D1, where they announced this morning as part of the All-Arkansas Preps event that Drew Brees is going to be the featured guest. Again, Keith Jackson, our own David Basil, will be part of the event as well. It's June 7th in the Wally Allen Ballroom of the State House Convention Center. I'm assuming there will be a Wally Hall Ballroom somewhere before it's all said and done. If you want in today, you can call us at 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. You can send us Keithley Service Company Live fan feedback through our Listen Live button, or you can send us an email, thezone@1037thebuzz.com. This is DH in the Gulf Coast on Keithley Service Company Live fan feedback. Jimmy Sexton's looking for a raise. We were talking about Nick Saban potentially interested in Texas. Well, apparently Mr. Sexton is interested in getting mo money. Apparently that is what this whole agent thing is about. And there are those who think that he might be interested in such things. There are those who think he might not be interested in such things. And by the body language I'm getting from Keith Jackson, who joins us now, you think, and not so much.
Well, I think that it's all about the money. I mean,
yeah.
Nick Saban, you never thought anybody, and I don't want to say this out loud with a bunch of Alabama fan, you never thought anybody could ever match what Coach has done down there before. But Nick Saban's done a great job. You can't argue that. And so, he wants to be paid for it. And when you have an opportunity to do that, you take advantage of it. And I tell you what, he's taking full advantage, because even Texas has changed a little bit with all the spread offenses. They don't have the power players like they used to. They're coming in Alabama. So I don't know if they'd go to Texas. Why would you leave that honey hole, as they say, to go somewhere else? I don't see it happening, but Alabama, they have a lot of money down there. I don't know if you know, but there's great industries down there and a lot of rich people, and he's going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, there's big money there. There's big money in Texas. But like he has said, he said, quote, I'm too damn old to start over. I don't think that's the case, because I think he could probably do this another 15 years. But I do think that, like you said, I mean, if you've got a great situation, what is the point of even considering something else? So I think we were just talking to Wally. I would love to see the SEC schools pull their money together and try to get him to just kind of go off into that, that good night. Go gently into that good night.
Yeah, get him to retire. I don't think that's going to happen, because he has a great relationship. All the players know him. They know his personality. He's one of those guys. He's a lot easier to get along with than he was when he first came to LSU. He understands the game. Great AD to work with. And they just have a system. I mean, they're pouring guys into the system. People are just waiting in line to play. I would not sit sixth string as a tailback. I would transfer somewhere else. But you got guys going, I want to be here. I want to be a part of a national championship. And, you know, he may have another one this year. I don't know why he'd leave.
Yeah, that's a good point. As far as Arkansas goes, you know, we were just talking. And, again, it may sound like we went to the Rick Schaefer School of Optimism this morning. But yes. I actually feel like this week, I mean, just like I felt last week, I mean, this is a team that if they play well, they take care of the football. They're running the ball effectively against teams that don't have dominant defenses. You saw it last week again. If they can, you know, again, yeah. you keep wondering, when's it all going to come together? Will they force a turnover, don't make any? This is an opportunity, again, where an Ole Miss team has a lot more to lose than Arkansas does this week.
Well, I'm going to do a Rick Schaeferism on you. We'll call it a Rick Schaeferism.
Mm-hmm.
If Javonte Herndon catches the touchdown, I believe you win the football game. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, he bobbles the ball and they call him out. Or maybe he did catch it.
Yeah.
It's questionable. And I thought he had it in time. Referee didn't. But if he go ahead and secure it and makes a touchdown, your quarterback doesn't get hurt. You don't get the first interception, which they score on. And then you don't get the turnover on the fumble they score on. So now you're 14 points and you're behind. It's hard with the offense that they run to come from behind. So if you just catch that first touchdown, those missed opportunities that happen all over the place. You're playing away in Florida. You're running a slant route. It's second down. You need a first down and you drop it. And so, you know, those things have hurt you. Throwing the ball behind the receiver, interception. Actually, the receiver ran the wrong route. I wouldn't blame the quarterback. And so you got an interception against Texas A&M. Little things like that will get you beat when you don't have as much talent as the other team. In saying that, this is Ole Miss season to win the conference, because they've got 9 returning starters on offense and 10 returning starters on defense. They hadn't played as well as they should have. They're a team that I think you can slip in and beat. They should be just dominating. They're not dominating. They're giving teams opportunity to play with them. And if they give Arkansas the opportunity and Arkansas can get ahead and run their game and not get behind, oh, yeah, this is going to be a fun game over at Ole Miss.
My guess is they will throw the ball more than 9 times this week. We were just talking about they have a little more effective pass game. I think Wallace a little better thrower than what Auburn has, and they've got a pretty nice complement of wide receivers too.
Oh yeah, they're going to see a lot more passes. You're talking about with Wallace. I mean, they throw the ball downfield. You look at Dante Moncrief; he's like 220 pounds. He's big, and you know they just got some talented receivers, and they like to get the ball to their backs out of the backfield. Arkansas's got to play better in the secondary. Their strength is up front, and I say our defensive line has been playing well, but our defensive ends have got to play better. And look at it; there's a freshman that's starting at defensive tackle this year. I mean, offensive tackle. We've got to whoop him. Trey Flowers has got to win that. He's got to win that matchup over and over again to make this a football game. When you have your goods against their not so goods, mm-hmm. that's when guys got to rise up. And so he's got to be one guy to make some plays this game.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, I think in the last week or so, everybody was sort of flipping out. And some people said, oh, good, the bye week came at a great time. You know, they get a chance to sort of rest up after what's been a tough couple week run before they get ready for the Auburn game. At the same time, you also have all the folks who were ready to jump off a bridge sort of stewing in all that negativity for an additional week. So the good news is, I think it did bring back a few of those fringe folks after last week's game and something to build on. And, you know, we make a lot of this in the media, obviously not having played the game. I'm curious what your thought is about finishing strong. And you're not going to a bowl game this year, but finishing strong maybe here, how much does it play into the building for the spring and the offseason, recruiting, all that? Does it matter?
Well, yes, it does. And not only does it matter for the building of the offseason, it matters for who's going to play next year. I mean, those guys, they're competing right now. They're auditioning to play next year. Am I going to be a starter next year at the position, or they're going to go and recruit a kid to take my place? The one thing I've got to say about the Razorbacks, and I've been pleasantly happy about, is they hadn't given up. I mean, they're still playing full speed all the way to the end of the game. It's just that they've been out-talented. And at the beginning of the year, Justin, you know, like me, I said, boy, we hope we make it to a bowl game. Hope.
Yeah.
That's what we said. We hope we make it to a bowl game, because we saw that there wasn't a lot of recruiting done with the last coaches, and we didn't have as much talent as everybody else. So we go. And so people who are getting upset, I don't know why, because getting upset is based on expectation, you know. And so my expectation was, this is going to be a struggling year,
mm-hmm.
right? But we have the coaching staff. You know, when you start looking at Randy Shannon, Mike Smith, those guys, Sam Pittman, they recruit all around the country. They're going to bring the players in. We have the coaching staff to bring the players in. And once you see some really good players in that system, you're going to say, that ain't the same system we were running 2 years ago, but it is.
Yeah.
It is. It's the same system. It just works when you have more talent.
Is it fair to say that this is a system that you have to have better talent in than what Coach Petrino was able to do?
When you take opportunities, when you're running a football, you got to build a line first, and they start doing that by having Skipple and Kirkland in there. They're building an offensive line. And you start running that football, and when you take that opportunity to throw the ball to the receiver, receiver. He's got to catch it. You got to take Russell Wilson. Let's go back to Wisconsin. Russell Wilson was throwing to Nick Toon, Al Toon's son. So when he play action fake and he threw it downfield, that big play player made the play. So now you get a touchdown when you need the big plays.
Right.
You bite, you make everybody bite up, come up close, fill in the box, and all of a sudden I'm going to get my big time receiver against your defensive back, and we're going to win every time. That's the difference. You got to have that guy. And, you know, we used to have him in the past. Mm-hmm. Kobe Hamilton, I can go down the list, Joe Adams, and we got Spoil. We don't have that guy right now.
Yeah, where's Monk, where's Lucas?
Exactly right. We've had him in the past.
Hopefully it's coming. And that's the thing. I do think they can recruit wide receivers. That's sort of a misconception, I think, for folks. I think you can't sell a receiver on this offense, but you, like you've pointed out, I mean, especially if you're a tight end, but, man, for sure right. They can get some guys in there because you're going to have opportunities to make plays. Tonight, obviously the best Thursday night maybe in the history of college football.
Oh, yeah.
Your alma mater's involved in one of those games.
Woo!
Four top 10 teams facing off in two games. Pretty exciting stuff.
Well, you know, my son's a big Oregon fan. His name's Quillen. He's so excited about Oregon. But I told him, I said, I just think the physical nature of what Stanford's done, I'm picking an upset over there.
Okay.
And you know, I've texted everybody and said, we're going to baptize the Baptist tonight. OU's going to baptize the Baptist. We're going to baptize them with a little Sooner fire tonight. So I'm going with Stanford. I'm going with all red. I'm just staying red. I'm not going outside the red.
You're going double upset.
I'm going with the S and the S. I'm going with the red and the red. And I'm going with the upsets.
Well, as a guy that went to a high school that was green and gold, I'm going all green and gold tonight. So what do I know? You know, we talked to our guy from Bleach Report yesterday, Michael Felder, who covers, you know, NCAA football. He likes both the red teams tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And despite the fact there's a huge gap in the lines on this game, I think, again, competitively, especially when you consider the fact that Stanford's at home, it should be pretty tight games.
I like the fact that they play so many different styles of defense and so many different styles of offense. And you start seeing, when you see Oregon against everybody else, for one thing, you look at guys like UCLA had a lot of success. They just didn't have athletes, had too many guys missing. But when you look at Stanford, they've got some athletes there, and they're very physical, and they're going to keep you under control. And so I just like physical teams when it comes down between a speed finesse team and a physical team.
Was the Utah game just an off day, you think, or is that a telltale sign of some issues with teams spreading out a little bit?
Well, I don't know.
We'll find out tonight.
Motivation. Yeah. What's your motivation? Was Texas an issue, or just, no, we were trying to get Mack Brown hired. We didn't want him getting fired.
How about that?
We want to keep him around for a couple more years. That's why we let him have that game.
He looks like he's settled in now, for sure. I mean, he's right at the, it's funny because we sat there on a touchdown club a while back and talked to Gene Chizik, and we were talking about Mack Brown looks like he's in trouble. So wait a minute now. So what if they go beat Iowa State, which they cheated them?
Right.
What if they beat Oklahoma? Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
What if they beat a couple of Iowa State guys here? What if you beat, what if you beat Oklahoma? And we're thinking, well, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, if, that would be great. Well, all of a sudden, now they're rolling.
Now they're back.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and so Mack is back. That's what we can say. Mack is back. But I think at the end of the year, there's still going to be a decision made on that. But he's done a great job. He'll probably move up into a different position and everything. Something has to happen. You have the top recruiting class year after year after year, the same way Alabama. And you see what Alabama's doing. That's why they're going up Nick Saban, and we're not doing the same thing, but everything says we should be doing the same thing. Something has to happen in Texas.
I see you got your Green Bay hat there. Let me shift into NFL mode for a second.
Injuries.
We talked to Imani Toomer yesterday about this, and he said he feels like because of the schedule, they play Philadelphia, and they've got a couple of not great opponents coming up, that they might be able to sort of hang in there until Rodgers can come back if the 3-week timetable is accurate. You feel okay about that?
Well, you know, it's just they were already beat up.
Yeah. They lost a tight end now, too. I mean, you know, they can't live without great tight ends.
They lost their receivers. I mean, yeah, he's a great tight end.
He
puts a lot of pressure on you. Now, he's a Texas guy, too, but he can't
Nobody's
play.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's wearing 88 and he can play. So, but what am I going to say? But when you already have so many injuries, and, you know, and I think Clay Matthews is coming back. He's been there. But just and then you have your leader. It's going to be very tough for them. But if they can just sneak in at the end and they get healthy at the right time, the same way the Giants did. Two Super Bowls the Giants went, won. They wasn't that good. They had too many injuries. Then all of a sudden they started winning when they got healthy, and they got healthy at the right time, and they end up winning the Super Bowl. So you got to hold out hope for that. But right now, without Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you know, I love my Packers. I just don't see it.
Seneca, storybook. It's a storybook ending.
I don't see it. Oh, what? Is that another Iowa State guy?
Yeah, he's the only.
Are we talking about another Iowa State? It's all about Iowa State at the end of the day with you, Justin.
There's one Iowa State guy in the whole league. We got to be excited about it. Dude's getting to play finally, you know? An ugly thing to end on here. I hate to do it, but let me ask you your thoughts. And I don't know how much you've had a chance to follow the incognito thing. It's kind of been all the talk everywhere, whether it's the newspaper or the television. And now the more that comes out about Martin, and maybe he's got some emotional problems. The bottom line is this is as old as time. I mean, as far as the hazing and the sort of
I've been doing it. I did it all. I mean, I sang sitting on the dock of the bay. I sang all the songs. I carried guys' helmets. I brought food to guys when I was a rookie. You get to be a rookie 1 year, and then you go through all that. And
does it last all year, or is it just the beginning of the year?
It's most of the year. I mean, you're always a rookie. You know, somebody's always messing with you. But to pay for the big dinner one time, pay for whatever it is you get one time. And you got to remember, these guys are making a lot of money. Everybody go, well, you had to pay $15,000. Well, the guy's a second-round draft choice. He's making plenty of enough money to pay $15,000. But, you know, I just want to know this, and this is a question for me to have, and I know you got to go to break. Here's the question I want to know. When does it stop from being bullying to being harassment? Because I think that we take that word bullying and we throw it around because we get an emotional and we want to get everybody to buy in. A 15-year-old is being bullied at a high school. A guy who's making $10 million a year and weighs 315 pounds, I don't know if that's bullying. I think it's still wrong when you listen to the recording and the words that it was said. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Even though guys may mess with you and call you sorry and you rookie, get over here and do this and get up and sing your fight song, they don't do that. That went a little bit too far. But that's part of, you know, football. There's always this little, I wouldn't say it's hazing. It's just this rites of passage thing that take place. But when do you stop saying that was a bullying incident? I don't know if you call it bullying.
Do guys know that it's okay for them to say, hey, I'm not comfortable with this anymore, enough? Do the rookies know that that's okay, or do they think that that's part of the deal and they just got to take it to the point where they obviously have a break of some sort like this guy did?
Well, you know, you're only a rookie one time. And what guys are asking you to do, everybody's done it. You know, you had the Dez Bryant incident where he didn't want to carry the helmet. Well, he said, I didn't know you did that. Yeah, rookies carry a helmet even if you're a first rounder. Trust me, I know. I had to bring Reggie White chicken like all the time. And the other side of that is, you know, you're pointing out incognito, but really what happens in that situation, a rookie belongs to the position. So if I'm a tight end and we don't draft a tight end, I don't have a rookie to mess with that year. Mm-hmm. But when you have an offensive lineman, the offensive linemen are who mess with him. You know, the quarterback doesn't tell him what to do. The defense doesn't. You know, that's kind of the way it works. So you have those two. They both play on the offensive line, and that's why you see his name jump out so much. I think he went overboard with it. I've got to say that. I've never seen a situation where people started to, you know, when you listen to the recording. But I do know that that's part of playing football, and we've all been through it from the big names that we know down to the little names.
Well, obviously Dez Bryant wasn't going to put up with it, like you said. What is amazing to me, and it's a little bit incongruous in my mind, is that we have talked about how you can't coach kids like this anymore, and guys aren't the same as they used to be.
Right.
And in college, you expect them to sort of be coached and treated a little bit differently. Yet when you get to the NFL, they still allow their peers to sort of pick at him and poke at him just like they used to do back in the day. So it's a little bit sort of out of whack to me. So maybe guys haven't changed quite as much as we think they have, or what's the deal there?
It sets a hierarchy in the locker room. Veterans run the locker room, and veterans have to take control of the locker room. Veteran has to say, that's a little bit too much, okay? But it's a process of them letting them know the younger guys, and you have to do that because younger guys want to take over, but they don't know anything about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of sets that pace of the veterans are the one that run the locker room. And so, you know, I guess whether you're going to a military or you're going wherever it is, it's like, we're veterans, you're a rookie, get in your place. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm a senior, you're a sophomore in high school, get in your place. You know, they used to call you slop dog and all that kind of stuff. So no matter where you go, it's been that rites of passage. But you only go through it for 1 year. You get 1 year of it, you know, and then now you get to boss some other rookie around.
That's right.
He becomes your rookie.
Guy has not been a rookie for a while is Drew Brees. Great score, and to hit a home run like this after getting Peyton Manning last year, pretty exciting.
You know, I'm so excited because I think that I get a chance to do the interview, the one-on-one sit-down with Drew Brees the same way I did with Peyton Manning. And Peyton was so great because you know his family, his brothers. You got all those stories you can bring in. I think that Drew Brees is kind of, to me, is going to be an emotional roller coaster, a guy who – they said he was too short to play. A guy who gets traded or cut from a team and has to go to another team. Then the city has a disaster, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden he's one of those guys that champions the city. But also at the same time, his team start rising to the top. I think that this is going to be a great – I'm looking forward to the interview and sitting down with him one-on-one on stage with about 1,100, 1,200 people listening and on June 7th at the Wally Allen Ballroom and talking about this.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Man, appreciate the time. Good seeing you, and hopefully get a couple wins to call the next couple weeks.
I need you to ask that question out to all the listeners. Now, when does it stop becoming bullying and start becoming harassment? Because that's what I want to know.
Good question.
I just want to know when is it not bullying? And that's just me asking the question.
Yeah.
So I threw that out there. I want to know what the power poll says.
I'm going to guess that I know a certain someone who was never harassed or bullied in his career.
Well, you know what? One of my friends told me I probably couldn't fight because I was so big my whole life, nobody picked a fight. So I go, well, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So I hope nobody tries to jump on me as I walk out here.
Yes, I think you're probably
safe. I don't think
safe.
So, yeah.
I think you're bullying me. You guys are bullying me, and I'm leaving.
I'm going to bully Nate as soon as you leave. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it.
All right, Nate. All right.
We'll be back. 10:51. Stay with us.